This is the Unstoppable Authors Podcast with worldbuilding warrior Angeline Trevina,
planning and productivity powerhouse Holly Line,
and formatting fireball Julia Scott.
Every week we bring you discussions on the craft of writing,
author life and business,
and interviews with some of the industry's most unstoppable authors.
A writer's life doesn't have to be solitary. We're here to bust that myth, support you on your journey, and encourage you to be unstoppable.
Welcome to episode 107 of the Unstoppable Authors Podcast. This week was meant to be a joint episode with all three of us, but this week Holly is recovering from moving out into an Airbnb while her house undergoes renovations, and Angeline is visiting family. So you're stuck with me yet again. Although actually, fortunately for you, you're not. This week I invited author Lindsay Hall to come talk to me about anthologies. So for a quick personal update, I don't really have a huge update, as this week I've been continuing with plotting and writing book three in my trilogy. Yes, I'm still plotting. I think I've got it finalised now, but we will see. I've been working on refining my writing process too. I know that I need to do writing sprints to get enough words down, as well as using the Forest app on my phone, which stops me looking at my phone during the sprint. But for some reason, I'd forgotten these things and had just tried to sit down and write. It doesn't work for me. So out comes the app, and I've made a sprint tracker in my bullet journal for the first time, which I'm really hoping Holly will be proud of. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. And the more I can fine-tune my writing process, the quicker I should be able to get each book out in theory. I've got 60,000 words to write in 20 days to hit my goal, and I'm going to try and do it. And hopefully everyone will cheer me on, and hopefully I can do it. So the question of the week. Last week we asked you, have you ever been hit by imposter syndrome, and how did you overcome it? Edwin said he needs chocolate to distract his nagging inner voice long enough to be able to answer my question. So perhaps this explains why I eat so much chocolate. Perhaps my inner critic demands it. Who am I to say no? Jackie says she doesn't suffer with imposter syndrome because she's worked hard for what she loves doing, and she feels sad that so many indie authors feel this way. She also said that her inner critic drives the need to do better, which is definitely a positive way to look at it. Holly said she mainly gets imposter syndrome around her non-fiction side, where she feels the pressure to be an authority or expert. And she deals with the common comparison trap when it comes to her fiction by talking to lovely friends, reading her positive reviews, and by using affirmations to remind herself that she's awesome, which she is in case you haven't noticed, and that she has a unique voice that will resonate with the right people. And Leah also mentioned affirmations. She said that when she ends up comparing her work with others, it totally steals away any fun or pride she has in her books. She makes sure to repeat to herself that she's worked hard, she's written a book, which is a huge accomplishment, and she's growing in her skills every day. Yes, you are, Leah. Positive affirmations are so important and can really boost confidence and keep you going. This week, I want to know, who would you love to be in an anthology with, and what genre would you choose? A huge thank you to all our patrons. Your support means the world to us. Patrons get early access to episodes, exclusive behind-the-scenes access to our off-air banter, as well as the warm, fuzzy feeling of supporting the podcast. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so for just £3 a month at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors. It would be really great if you could take a moment to share this episode on social media. Grab a screenshot, share it directly from your podcast platform, or even take a selfie with it. Just remember to tag us so that we can share it too. It means so much to hear from our listeners and to know that you enjoy the show. This week, I spoke to Lindsay Hall all about anthologies. In case you're not sure what an anthology is, it's a collection of shorter works, such as short stories and short novels by different authors, each featuring unrelated casts of characters and settings, and usually collected into a single volume for publication. Now, getting involved in an anthology has always been something I've considered, so I was excited to talk to Lindsay about them, as she has just published her first anthology, Enchanted Waters, which is a collection of short stories about water magic, which she did along with 7 other authors. She's also going to be published in 2 more anthologies in 2022, Enchanted Forests and Once Upon a Name. Lindsay's debut novel, The Fair Queen, which is a young adult fantasy, was released in early 2020, and her next novel, The Solitary King, will be published in 2022, So she's certainly got a busy year coming up, that's for sure. So without further ado, here's the interview, and I hope you enjoy it. Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So as with all these types of interviews, we're going to kick off in the most obvious and best way, which is tell us a bit about yourself, your books and your writing journey so far.
Okay, I'm Lindsay Hall. I'm a young adult fantasy writer from the UK. I live in Nottinghamshire. When I started writing my first debut novel, we lived right on the edge of Sherwood Forest, and it was just a really inspiring sort of magical feeling place that gave me the setting for my first novel, which was The Fair Queen, which came out in August 2020. And I'm currently working on book two, which is due out January 2022, called The Solitary King. And as well as The Fair Chronicles, I've also been writing some short stories set in the same world, in the Fair realm. And I recently had one published in an anthology called Enchanted Waters. And we've got another one coming out next year called Enchanted Forests, which we're really excited for.
You sound very busy.
I feel very busy, but it's all good things.
They do sound like good things. How have you found the journey of publishing your very first book? What was that like for you as a self-published author?
It's been an amazing experience. I decided to sort of go it alone and publish independently in January 2020.
I set
the date for August 2020, and I made myself accountable and announced it all over the internet, and then the pandemic hit. And I regretted that slightly, but no, it was actually really good, and it meant that I was at home, you know, and I didn't have a commute anymore, so I probably had more time to finish editing and get the book ready for publication. So yeah, it was a bit crazy, but it has been amazing. Yeah, so I sort of edited throughout the summer of 2020 and published in August 31st.
Yeah, and how's the second book going? Because I'm super keen to read it.
It's going really well. So I started writing book one in 2016, and I wrote it and edited it, self-edited it. And then I entered Pitch Wars, the competition on Twitter, in 2017. And I did win a sort of side competition to get a mentee to help me with my first few chapters. So she was really, really helpful and helped me to sort of get it into a place where I felt like it was ready for querying. I didn't get into Pitch Wars, but I did start querying agents. But after about 6 months, I'd had quite a few really polite rejections, some really nice responses that said that it stood out from the other submissions, but, you know, they just weren't sort of ready to represent me. I then found out I was pregnant. So that kind of put things...
Banner in the works.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of delayed things a bit. But I did have book one almost completely ready. So after I'd had my little boy, Joey, I was sort of starting to get the writing bug a bit again. In 2018, 2019. So I did start writing book two and almost completely finished it back then. So at the moment, I'm kind of just polishing it to get ready for my editor, who is booked in for November. So yeah, we're on track for January 2022 for book two's release.
And you've got your formatter all set up, so I hear.
I do. I'm booked in with Evenstar.
Is it going to be just the two books, or are there going to be more, or are you unsure?
There'll be a third in this series, but because I've started writing sort of around this main trilogy to do some short stories and things, I do have a lot of ideas for more books within the same world. So I think there'll be spin-off series, but this main one will be a trilogy.
Fabulous. So the anthology recently published, Enchanted Waters, so your short story is based in the same world as your series, right? Will that be the same for the next anthology for Enchanted Forests, or is that going to be something else?
That's the plan, is to sort of always have the short stories in the anthologies pointing back to my main series.
Okay.
Partly so that people will think, that's really cool. I really liked the world building and the magic in that. You know, there's a longer full length series for me to read. I'll go and buy that. But also just because I really enjoy writing in that world. I like the characters in the world that I've created.
I like that world too. Now, I have read your short story in Enchanted Waters and I really enjoyed it. But like I messaged you immediately after I finished reading it, I'm like,
I want to know what happens.
I know. So
will you do anything with that story and build on it, or are you just going to leave us all hanging? There's a correct answer to this question.
Yeah. The original plan was to be all hanging, but that many people have messaged asking what happens next that I think I'll write.
But that must be so encouraging, surely, for so many people to go, oh my God, I want to know more. Please tell me more.
That it's had a really good reception, and I was really proud when I was told that it was going to be in the front, that it was going to be the first story at the front of the book to sort of hook readers in. Mm-hmm. I was really, really proud about that. But yeah, so a lot of people have messaged just asking me, did this happen? Did that happen? I kind of left it open and ambiguous, thinking it's a short story and people will be thinking about it for long afterwards. But actually, yeah, people just want to know.
No, I was thinking about it. Yeah, which is fascinating, so, because it's why I've always avoided short stories, because I feel like I would just want more. You know, when you get pulled into a world and a story, but obviously if people want more, they can go by The Fair Queen and get into a different side of the world of the story. So
that's true. And the characters from Daughter of the Selkie King are briefly mentioned at one point in The Fair Queen. Yes. So you kind of get a hint as to something that did happen. But I think there will be a follow-up short story now, set possibly a few years later.
Will any of those characters be in The Solitary King?
Maybe, potentially. You'll have to wait and see.
I am going to have to wait and see, but I'm going to get to be one of the first to read it. So there. So tell me about Once Upon a Name, which is the anthology you're working on for, is it coming out next year?
Yes. So Once Upon a Name comes out in April. And it's the work of 20 fantasy authors, which has been really fun to sort of orchestrate.
Are they different authors from the two you're doing now, the Enchanted ones?
I think four of us are also doing Once Upon a Name. So there were 8 of us on Enchanted Waters. And we've had a few more join for Enchanted Forests. I think there's 10 or 11 authors on Enchanted Forests. And 4 from that group are doing Once Upon a Name together with 16 others that we've roped into joins. So basically what happened was I shared a fantasy name generator in a Facebook group just for a bit of fun. And we all generated our characters, and it came up with a little bit of blurb about their background. And one of the other girls said, this would be a really cool theme for an anthology. And we should all take those character names. We didn't necessarily use the blurb, but just the character names themselves, and write a piece of flash fiction, which I had never done. So the aim was to write 1,500 words based on this character. And almost all of us went over. So it's turned into short
course.
Stories.
You're writers. Of course.
We are. We just can't keep things condensed. So they've turned into short stories. My story is called Baroness of Blood and Bone. And it's an urban fantasy about wolf shifters, which is also something I've never written. Oh. But just the opportunity to go, I'm just going to write something that I would never normally write, that I've got no experience of writing in this sort of length or this kind of genre, and just go for it. And the feedback's been really good so far. I think people liked it. So, yeah, it's been really fun.
Awesome. So you're organising this one. Are you heading it up?
I'm not, no. One of the other authors, Sky, is. But because we've worked together on another anthology, she does sort of ask us for advice and, you know, get our feedback on different things like the cover and everything.
So it is quite a team effort in the end.
It is. It's a really big team effort. Enchanted Waters was as well, but it was kind of easier to organise with a smaller number. So with 20, it can get a little bit out of hand. But
yeah,
it's been
I can imagine.
Yeah, a lot of opinions, that's all. It made a great experience, like building the cover together and everyone's different thoughts, because there's so many stories to try and make the cover fit that it was quite challenging, but it was fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. So how did you get involved in the anthologies you've published so far and the ones you're working on? Like, how did you find that opportunity?
So I'd been chatting to a few other authors on Instagram, and one of them, Jennifer Croft, invited me to join a group on Facebook that was for indie authors to just support each other, just cross promo of our books to help each other with our new releases and things like that. And then in that group one day, another one of the authors, Alex Avinia, who ran Enchanted Waters, she posted saying, does anybody want to join in on this anthology that I'm going to be running in a year's time, that will be all water fantasy stories? And because The Fair Queen and the world that I've built around that is elemental magic, I thought, I have a water kingdom. I have water magic wielding fairies. I can absolutely write a story that's just, you know, based in that world. So I said yes. And, you know, we just all started working together. And it's been amazing to go from, you know, just a message on Facebook saying who wants to collaborate on this, to now I've got a team of authors who I kind of plan for the next few years to be writing together.
Yeah, it's a long-term project really, isn't it?
It creates
quite some good bonds.
Yeah, exactly. They've become really good friends, and also I've learned so much from all of them. Everyone's got different skills they brought to the table. So, Alice did the formatting, and Astrid's really good at marketing, and beta read everyone's because she is an editor professionally. And yeah, just everyone had different sort of talents and advice that they kind of chucked in. And I just feel like I've learned so much over the year of working together with everybody on that.
That's awesome. So what did you enjoy most about collaborating with other authors?
I think I probably enjoyed reading everybody's stories the most, because I hear from a lot of anthologies that people don't beta read each other's stories. But for Enchanted Waters, we had a Google Drive where we put all of our stories in. You know, we just all had access to each other's stories and all the spreadsheets and everything, and we all worked together really closely. There was no one person sort of running the show and making sure that everyone's stories were sort of up to scratch. We all read each other's and gave feedback, and it felt like a huge collaborative project rather than, oh, I'm just submitting my story and that'll be, you know, it'll get published and that'll be it. So we've all become each other's beta readers as well as friends.
Even though it's very different, would you ever co-author with someone?
I don't know. I think I might like to try it one time at least, because I can't quite imagine how it would work. Do you write one chapter and the other author writes another chapter, or do you sort of write one character's point of view and the other author writes the other character's? Or I can't picture how you could get along creatively with another person so well that you wouldn't, you know, I mean, you would be happy to relinquish control, basically.
Yeah, no, some people do. There's a romance author, Kennedy Fox, who is two people who co-author together and they just publish under the one name. That they do all of their books together. Like, I can't imagine.
I think that would be amazing if you had that relationship with someone and that was every book you wrote was the both of you. Because I know there's some husband and wife teams that I follow on Instagram that write together. And also there's a crime, a crime thriller author called PJ Tracy. And it was PJ and Tracy, a mother and daughter team. Me and my mum both absolutely loved all of their novels. And recently I think that the mother has passed away and now the daughter's continuing on her own, but under the same pen name. Yeah, and I can't imagine how emotional that must be to write the first one without your mum. But yeah, so I think if you were a team and, you know, you had that close relationship, I can see how it would be incredible. I don't know anyone that well. I don't think I could do it yet. I haven't met the right co-author yet.
I think you need to know your voice as well quite strongly before you work with someone else, I should imagine. Challenging. It would be challenging. And speaking of challenging, what was the most challenging aspect of working with other authors on an anthology collaboration?
I think the hardest part was everyone's expectations for how it was going to go, how successful it could be. If everyone put, you know, enough effort in, it wasn't too high pressure, but there were certain people with higher expectations, or, you know, that sort of expected a lot out of us. And that was fine. I was willing to put in a lot of time and effort because I really wanted it to succeed as well. And it felt like some people didn't put as much sort of time and effort in, which I guess is the main challenge when you've got a big group of authors is feeling like some people are sort of carrying the load more than others. So it was probably that, trying to meet other people's expectations for how successful you could make the launch. And we did amazing in the end, and we were all really proud of it. I think we surpassed everyone's expectations. But on the journey, it felt kind of intense at times.
It looked intense because you were dealing with the launch when we were at the Oxford meet, weren't you?
And yeah, you were so sitting there in the park with your laptop on your lap, and everyone's like, hi, Lindsay.
Yes, I was. It had just come out the day before, and I had been in charge of setting up newsletter promotions, and so I still had some work to do.
You were dedicated, I could see that, and that's a great thing. But I should imagine it's hard when all of the authors probably have different life things going on, and some people that's have true. Lots of time, but some people are doing a full-time job or dealing with other
and with the pandemic and everything that's gone on, it's definitely been a challenge. I definitely think that everyone did amazing.
It looked amazing, and I've been enjoying it so far. I haven't finished it, first one, but yeah, I've read yours because it was the first one.
It was.
So what is your main goal for getting involved in anthologies? I saw that the profits of Enchanted Waters have gone to charity. That was an ocean-based charity, is that right?
Yes, Oceana. It was marine life and fishing communities. Mm. Enchanted Forest, it'll be forest conservation, woodland conservation charity as well that we've not chosen yet. But the main aim, obviously, we wanted to raise money for charity, but it was to sort of get more reach for our own books, our own stories, to just reach more people by having, you know, a larger group of authors working together on a launch whose readers would all pool together. And if they liked one of the other authors' stories, then hopefully they would buy that author's books as well. So it's out there forever now as a way to sort of grab readers and lure them towards our main series as well.
Absolutely. I think it does a good job of that because it is a very compelling story, your one, and I'm sure the others are too. can't forget the other people. But have you found it has generated interest for the Fair Queen, or is it a bit early to tell? You know,
I think it definitely feeling? Partly because over release weekend I made the Fair Queen free.
Ooh, clever strategy. I love it.
Yeah, so I did get about 1,000 free downloads over that
weekend.
Wow,
that's fabulous.
Which was crazy. I wasn't expecting that many at all. And yeah, if all of those people buy book two, please, then that would be amazing.
Yes. And the great thing about giving your book away for free on Amazon is that when you release that next book, people's Kindles are notified that someone you've bought from or whose book you've picked up before has recently published this. So hopefully second book will do really well for you.
Yes, fingers crossed.
So what advice would you give to someone who is interested in joining an anthology?
Well, first of all, there are a few Facebook groups where you can find boxed sets and anthologies that are looking for submissions. So there's all sorts of different genres, everything that you can think of, there'll be an anthology or a box set that you can submit to. One of the things that I hadn't realised, because with Enchanted Waters, there'd been no buy-in fee. Some of them can be up to $500 buy-in, especially the list aiming sets. So if they're trying to get onto the USA Today bestseller list, you'll be paying a lot of money to get your story in there because it will get you a lot of exposure as well. So yeah, the first thing is to have a look, see which genres you write in that you could potentially submit a story to, and then have a look at how much it could potentially cost you to be involved. But the main thing, once you're sort of in there with a group, I think is to give it your all, really, and to, you know, not just think that you're writing your own story and submitting it and that'll be it, potentially a bit of marketing and promo towards release day. If you can get stuck in there properly and, you know, offer as much as you've got to give. So my day job is in marketing, so I felt like I was quite confident in doing quite a lot of the marketing tasks that were suggested. And other people have got other talents such as editing or formatting or even cover design. If you've got another skill, definitely offer it up. You know, if you can sort of build bridges and like network with your fellow authors, then you never know what opportunities they might offer you in the future, which is exactly how I got involved in anthologies in the first place, was just by networking with other indies. And then I got offered this opportunity to collaborate. And now I feel like I've got sort of a really good little indie author family that I'll be working with for years to come.
Oh, that's lovely. I love that. The question is, would you ever start your own? Would you ever head up the team and do your own anthology?
I think, yes, I would. I might keep it quite small. I might keep it sort of under 10. And I'd go in with a cover and a genre. And I know exactly what I wanted from people to kind of keep the sort of cooks in the kitchen to a minimum and the poles down to a minimum. But yeah, I think I potentially would in a couple of years' time. Maybe I could, yeah, run my own. That would be fun.
Can I
another experience? Yeah, of course.
I can format it for you.
Perfect, you're in.
I'm not just sticking to sci-fi, so, you know, I can branch out. So what are your writing plans and goals for the future? I don't know how far ahead you look. I mean, you're already quite busy next year, it would seem, with two book releases already. But, you know, what are your goals and plans?
So I've got The Solitary King coming in January 2022, which will be the middle book of my first trilogy. And then the final book in that trilogy will be January 2023. So then I'll have a completed series, which seems to be a huge goal. That's really exciting. And then I've also got Once Upon a Name coming out in April next year and Enchanted Forest coming out in July next year.
Oh, three books, of course. Yeah. I said two, but it's three. Wow.
It's three. And then I've also got a cover and outline for a historical fantasy that I've been thinking about for a few years now. That's kind of combining like Burke and Hare, Grave Robin and mesmerism, a bit of the occult and set in sort of Victorian times England that I'm really, really excited to start writing. And I don't really know. I've got the next few years planned out.
You have. You really have. You're more organised than there, me, I must say.
Yeah, the sky's the limit, really. I'm working on some short stories that are sort of freebies for my newsletter subscribers. They've got the first one already, which is called A Fair Deception, and it's a sort of Cinderella, loosely based on Cinderella, prequel novella to The Fair Queen. So it's following the parents of one of the characters. So it's a king and, well, they turn out to be the king and queen in The Fair Queen. Mm-hmm. But you kind of, small spoiler there. You follow them as they meet and fall in love for the first time in the prequel novella. And then I've got four more planned, each in one of the different kingdoms. There are five kingdoms in the Fair Realm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, hopefully, you know, I'll be keeping my newsletter subscribers happy too in between.
It's very busy. Like, I think my main question would be, where do you find the time? Like, how do you fit all of this in? Because you work, don't you? Have a job, like, aside from all of this?
I do. I have a full-time job and a full-time toddler.
Yes. Like how?
I barely sleep and I'm very stressed all of the time.
Oh dear. Go listen to our Wellbeing for Writers episode. I hope you did listen to that.
Don't follow my plan. Yeah. No, I enjoy it so much. I think that's the main thing, is if I'm not working or looking after my son, I'm writing. So
if you don't see it as a job, it's something fun, but also you take it seriously, don't you?
It's my thing for myself, which, you know, I started before I had my little boy, but I've realised since having my son that I need it even more than I did before to have my time, to be able to shut the door on my office and say, I'm going to have a couple of hours to myself now. Yeah. It just grows me. It's my self-care.
I love that. And it should be. That's the way writing should feel.
Yeah, why it does it get intense. It does get stressful.
Sometimes it doesn't.
It is hard work, especially when it comes to editing. I love first drafting. I love outlining more than anything. I hate it.
I'm the absolute opposite. I hate first drafting. Like, if someone could just like pull this story out of my head and throw it on the screen, I will edit it. I'm happy. I love editing, but no.
We should swap. We should do each other's.
Maybe we could co-write.
We should co-write.
Yeah, well, there you go, sorted. So writing short stories for anthologies obviously is a very different ball game compared to writing a full novel. Did you like do any research on the best way to do that, or did you just follow your instincts with it? Like, because I wouldn't know where to start with writing a short story, because I feel like I would just keep writing and writing and writing and not be able to stop. So like, you know, how did you find that process?
First of all, because I had never written a short story, I did do research. So I did sort of Google, like, what is the general word count I should be aiming for? And what are the sort of requirements of the style? You know, what are people expecting? Is it supposed to have like a complete ending? Is it supposed to wrap up? Is it supposed to leave people sort of wondering and questioning? And then I read some because I hadn't really read any short stories before either. So I decided to buy a couple of anthologies that were sort of similar. So they were based on like fantasy and or fae stories, because my books are kind of my own spin on the fae. So I read some. And then because I'm a planter, but I'm more leaning towards the plotter side. I love having an outline. I want a start to finish outline, but with space for me to sort of do what I like in between. So I created an outline that I thought would give me roughly the right word count, and it basically did. So I just kind of decided what scenes I would need, and then I fitted them into chapters, and then I just wrote each chapter. And
that's what I found surprising about your short story, was that it was in chapters, because like you, I haven't really read short stories. I read long books. And I just thought short stories would just be one story and done.
Maybe I did that wrong then. No.
I'm sure you didn't. I mean, I enjoyed it the way it was laid out. So.
Yeah, I am a chapter writer. I change them into scenes in the editing process, but whilst I'm writing it, I call them chapter one, chapter two. And then during editing, I move the chapter lines. And one of my greatest super skills is choosing the right place to end a chapter and start the next one. So I'll pick the most exciting point where people cannot possibly put the book down at that point, and that's where the chapter ends.
And that is why I read The Fair Queen in like a day and a half.
It is like, my main talent.
Yeah, no, it's a good talent to have. It really is. Well, it's been amazing hearing about your process and the positives and the negatives of the whole thing. And I mean, I've certainly learned a lot, so thank you. But yeah, we're going to keep an eye out for all of the books that are coming out from you over the next year or so.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a would you rather question.
Okay.
Because we do this to everyone. It's kind of harsh, but I've had to do it several times, so you do. So the would you rather question for you today, Lindsay, is would you rather go back in time 5 years and have to redo them all over again, or go forward in time 5 years and miss out on everything that happens?
That's a horrendous question.
I wrote it and I was like, I'm a sci-fi writer, aren't I? I can't help myself.
You're awful. God. I have to say I'd go back. I have to, because of my little boy. So I can't say I'd skip 5 years of his life and jump to when he will be much easier and a much better sleeper at 8. I'll have to go back, and I'll have to go through birth again.
Yeah, you'll have to give birth.
I've changed my mind.
Exactly. And you'll have to go through the pandemic again.
I know. Okay, can we just cut this podcast right? No, yeah, I would go back. I'd go back and I'd live it again. I'd read more books though, because I'd know, well, I've done it, and you know, it's nothing's going to change the outcome. So I'm going to read for 5 years.
Oh, there were no like rules on this question. What if, you know, what would you change?
If me reading 24 hours a day would stop the pandemic from happening, I would take that. I will sacrifice that.
I mean, you'd have to sleep at some point.
Okay, just
brilliant. Yeah. So finally, and again, thank you for joining us, but where can our listeners find out more info about you and your books? Where can we find you online?
You can go to my website, which is lindsayhallwrites.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Lindsay Hall, or Facebook. I've got a Facebook group called Lindsay Hall's Fair Folk. And I'd say Twitter, it's lindsayhall_, but I'm not there very much.
Twitter is one of these funny places.
It's a strange place.
Thanks for joining, and good luck with everything and all the books. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
So there we go. Some really helpful tips in there about working on an anthology. I definitely learned a thing or two myself, actually. Give Enchanted Waters a try if fantasy is your thing. It may spark ideas for an anthology of your own. A quick reminder of our question of the week. Who would you love to be in an anthology with? And what genre would you choose? Let us know. And remember that if you want to hear all the backstage stuff and get all of the other benefits, you can join us over at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors. Don't forget to share the podcast online and tag us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search for Unstoppable Authors.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Unstoppable Authors podcast. We'll be back next week with more of our tenacity and worldly wisdom.
Don't forget to visit our website to get the show notes and heaps of helpful blog articles at unstoppableauthors.com.
And join our Guild of Unstoppable Authors, and you will not only hear from us every week, but you will also get a free digital copy of my book, 30 Days of Worldbuilding.
If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe and leave a review.